This is Jen of Supernatural Smut. Have you ever wanted a source that has paranormal, cryptid, and extraterrestrial news all in one? Well, you're in luck. Paranormality Magazine is a collaborative endeavor driven by a deep passion for the mysterious, unexplained, and the paranormal. They are captivated by the enigmatic realms and the individuals who shape this extraordinary community. Their mission is to delve into all things Fortean, embracing topics ranging from apparitions to extraterrestrial encounters and exploring the diverse array of cryptid creatures in between. With a global team dedicated to the pursuit of knowledge, they gather captivating stories, conduct insightful interviews, and provide up-to-date coverage on groundbreaking paranormal projects that are propelling our community forward. They even have digital and print subscriptions. Just go to Paranormality Magazine and use code SMUT10 for 10% off of your subscription. That's SMUT10 for 10% off. And feed your passion for the paranormal.
Hey, Smutters.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
There you go. Okay, so your week, how was it?
Living hell. Yours?
So great. No, it wasn't. It was all right. Mom was okay. So.
Just okay. You know what I can't get over?
What's that?
Literally, the government has announced that we have aliens.
Right.
And our life has just continued on. Like, no big deal. We all still get up and go to work. There's no chaos. But, like, why are people not talking about it? Like,
this is like a huge, huge thing. Like, this changes everything. And nobody's saying a word about it.
Is it because they desensitize us to it with all the movies and all the stuff throughout the years?
I truly think it is. And the fact that they were, like, on the news and stuff, like, telling us when they saw UFOs and, like, they took it slow. They eased us into it. And now, like, I was telling you earlier.
It's like the movie Paul.
Yeah. But, like, I was telling you earlier, like, our story is about a UFO tonight, and I'm not crazy about it, you know? That sounds terrible because they have desensitized us. I feel like, you know, they're here. It's like another day, you know? But, and I'm just kidding, y'all. It is a cool story. But today you had texted me and you were like, have you ever asked S-I-R-I what your Halloween costume should be? Remember?
Yeah.
Well, I did. Okay.
What did it say?
Well, hang on. I'm going to do it again for everybody. Alien? Huh? No. No, I asked twice and she told me two different costumes. So I was going to get you to ask too. Oh. Okay. So, hey Siri.
Huh?
What should I be for Halloween? You could dress up like lip balm and tell people you're the bomb.
Wow.
Wah, wah.
You suck, Siri.
She doesn't talk to me half the time anyways. I'm surprised she answered. Let's see what you should be. Hey, Siri.
Mm-hmm.
What should my husband be for Halloween? If you wear a white sheet and draw tattoos all over your face, you'll be Ghost Malone.
I'm doing that.
I want you to. Siri's got jokes tonight. I love that. But no, this morning she was like, put avocado in a martini glass and toast everybody and say your avocado toast. And it was just that was stupid. I got a kick out of it, though.
I'm
like,
sure you do.
None of her answers are the same, y'all.
You and Siri's jokes are about the same.
Listen, Siri hates me. I used to be best friends with my last Siri. Like, I talked to her all the time. In the end, like...
Did she talk about it?
Kinda. When I asked her questions. In the end, Like, I was forced to get a new phone. I don't care about phones, y'all. So, my phone was so old, they were like, it's discontinued, you must get a new phone. So, I got a new phone, and now this one, like, half the time I'll say something to her, and she just ignores me or says, huh? And I don't like her very much. I don't like you, Siri. But, or if I have my earbuds in, like, I'll be talking to one of my friends, and I'll be like, are you serious? And she'll go, yes. And I'm like, what? But, yes, Siri and I do not have a good relationship. I do not like her.
Oh, goodness.
So, anyway.
Anywho's.
So, this story, I haven't told you anything about it at all.
No.
Okay. Well, it's mainly about a UFO, and
a real one?
We'll see. It was never said if it was real or not. So I want to see what you think at the end of the story.
Probably fake.
It was totally fake.
I still want to hear from the lady on the plane.
I was listening to a podcast about that today, and they were saying that they were saying all kinds of things about reptilians and how they went underground, and somehow they're making it hotter because reptiles love heat and they're getting ready to come out from underground. And
it's always this hot in the summer, though.
I don't think it's ever, like, it's hot, but it's like, is it always this hot? Yeah. Like, this hot?
And we're in the south and it's the middle of August.
I don't know. I just remember being outside for hours when I was a kid, and it was hot, yeah. But, like, now, I guess being an adult and having to work outside, like, it's totally different. I can't just go in and watch TV and lay on the floor or whatever, you know?
You could.
I would love to lay on the floor at work. See what they'd say. All right. I was thinking of you today. Somebody came up and we were talking. I was asking my boss. I was like, why don't you fire somebody? And she was like, what? And I was like, go, you're fired. And I felt like Stan Lee from The Office. So I kept saying it. I was like, you're fired. Anyway, sorry, y'all. We love The Office. So I am. Tonight's story is called The Falcon Lake Incident.
I've been called the Falcon before. Actually, it's more Falcor.
Yeah, it's, you tell people to call you Falcor.
No, they just call me that.
That's what they write on your sandwiches when we get subs is Falcor. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's get started. The date was May 20th.
Hold on, talk about, okay. Did you see this that I sent you on Facebook earlier?
Yes, I did read that.
The new species of sea monster, it has 20 arms. And looks like the face hugger from Alien.
Fucking Antarctica, I'm telling you. It's found in Antarctica.
Yeah, they need to quit leaving. They need to leave that shit alone.
They need to freeze it back up because there's going to be all kinds of things coming out of the woodworks.
Crazy.
Reptilians have to freeze it back up. Everything's melting. I'm telling you, this world is hotter. It's the reptilians. They're making it hot so all the crazy shit can come out. Okay. I saw that.
Yeah, Box Lunch is getting their Halloween stuff out.
So is Hot Topic, too. They've got some cool Halloween stuff. And you guys, if any of y'all are Monster High fans like I am, I'm a huge Monster High fan. Hot Topic is getting some Monster High stuff in, so be on the lookout for that. Also, Hot Topic, sponsor us, please. Love Hot Topic. Okay.
We know.
So, the date was May 20th. Tonight we are headed to Falcon Lake within Whiteshell Provincial Park in the Canadian province of Manitoba. In 1967, Stephen Michalak returned. What is that?
The prison thing I sent you.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people at work tell me that we need to go there.
Okay. Anyways.
Okay. Sorry. Returned from the thick Canadian wilderness covered in weird burns. He claimed they came from a UFO. Because of the Now, when I say UFO, and I mean like an actual unidentified flying object, he wasn't thinking aliens. He was thinking like spy planes and stuff like that. So that's what I'm talking about right here. Because of the burns and other proof Stephen collected has made this one of the best documented encounters in history.
Say what?
Yes. But before we go any further, let's talk about who Stephen actually was. He grew up in Poland. The first half of his life, he survived a Nazi invasion. While working as a Polish intelligence officer, he was captured by Nazis. He was in a concentration camp for a year and a half. And when the war ended, Stefan escaped Poland and joined the American army that was occupying Germany at the time. He traveled around working as a translator for Allied soldiers as they dismantled the concentration camps. So, basically, we can all agree that Stefan has probably seen some things, right?
Well, Stefan's a vampire.
Okay, we're going to go there. It's also no surprise when Stefan jumped at the chance to move to Canada with his family. So, for 20 years, he's been living his dream life in Canada. He has his wife and his three children. And he works as an industrial mechanic at a cement company. On the weekend.
On the weekends, I like to party.
He's an amateur prospector. A prospector is a person who searches for mineral deposits, especially by drilling and excavation. He does this for fun. He loves rocks and minerals and loves to bring home samples. So, on Victoria Day, he's definitely got plans. He is going on a prospecting trip. Now, for the non-Canadians... Please turn that off.
It's a Sasquatch.
I follow that. Oh. For the non-Canadians, Victoria Day is a Canadian holiday to honor Queen Victoria, who is known as the Mother of Confederation, and it usually falls on like a Monday. So Stefan has 3 whole days. He decided to go to Falcon Lake. Falcon Lake sits in the middle of the Canadian Shield. The shield is made of ancient rocks. It's about 3 million square miles. It's one of Stefan's favorite spots. On Friday, Stefan takes the bus to the lake. He checks into a motel. He goes to bed pretty early and wakes up the next morning. On May 20th at 5:30 a.m., he leaves his room and starts walking deep into the Canadian wilderness. By 9 a.m., Stefan had found a great discovery. He took a few hours chipping at his crystal, and around 12, he hears a large gaggle of geese. They seem scared, like they're trying to get away from something. Stefan turns around, and he can't believe his eyes. 2 shiny objects hovering above the trees. He said they were oval-shaped, with a raised bump in the middle. Stefan watched them change color. He saw red, then orange, and then gray. He was in such awe that he didn't realize they were descending. One of the UFO hovers above Stefan for a minute and then darts away, never to be seen again. But the other one stays. It lands on a rock about 150 feet away, and it keeps changing colors, but then settles on a beautiful silver. It was giving off a yellow glow. Close to the top was an opening with a purple light shining through. He doesn't know what to do. He's in shock. He hears the motor and it's giving an awful smell like exhaust and sulfur. Now, Stefan doesn't think this could be an alien. He thinks it's some kind of top secret military aircraft, which truly makes sense because of all his years in the military. He gets closer and tries to find any kind of markings from the Air Force. While he's looking, he hears voices. He can't make out what is being said because of the engine, but he does know it sounds like 2 people. So he offers to help. And this is when he shouts out, and this is a direct quote. Are you ready? Okay. He says, okay, Yankee boys, having trouble? Come on out and let's see what we can do about it. No reply. I love that, Yankee boys.
Yankee boys?
Yeah. Okay, Yankee boys. So nobody answered, so he tries again in Russian. Nothing. He tries again in German. Nothing. He tries again in Italian, Polish, French, and Ukrainian. He's a translator. And Ukrainian. The voices stopped. So Stefan goes up to the craft, which, y'all, don't ever do this. If you see a UFO, don't go up to it.
No.
It's just bad news.
Unless y'all want to get probed.
Exactly. You're going to get probed.
And what is it since... Okay, pause.
Pause.
What is it since we have come out and said aliens exist? Everybody's wanting to clap cheeks. Everybody's wanting to do them.
Yeah, like that used to be everybody's number one
world of
fear.
Like,
their number one fear of getting abducted by aliens was getting anal probed. And now, like, aliens are real, so let's get anal probed. Like, what the shit, y'all?
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, sorry.
Quit trying to have sex with aliens, y'all. Anyway. So, where was I? So, he goes up to the craft. He puts on his protective goggles. And then he sticks his head inside the opening. That's what she said. The interior is crazy. Beams of lights crisscrossing everywhere, blinking lights in a pattern. And the lights are so bright they hurt his eyes. He pulled his head back outside, and as soon as he does, metal panels seal it shut. So now the craft looks seamless. Not an opening anywhere. But then, Stefan sees a strange spot. It's round with circular holes in a checkerboard pattern. Maybe an exhaust port. Stefan then touches the ship. The metal melts his glove. The ship then spins counterclockwise. One side tilts up, and Stefan then feels a sharp pain as a gust of air hits his stomach. His shirt catches fire, and he rips it off. It's too late. He has severe burns all over his stomach. The craft then rises up and takes off into the sky. Stefan is laying on the ground in unbearable pain. He then notices the burns are perfectly round on his stomach. His head hurts. He can't stop sweating, and then he starts to vomit. Slowly, he starts thinking, if the craft was a top-secret military vehicle, maybe it ran on nuclear power. The exhaust that hit him might have been radioactive waste. Stefan finally is able to stand up. He knows he has to get to the hospital. But his compass stopped working. So he starts walking. It's so difficult for him because every few minutes, he has to stop and throw up. He's disoriented. He keeps smelling that awful smell. He finally realizes the smell is coming from him. He's so desperate to get out of the woods, but he's also scared the ship may come back. After hours, Stefan finds the highway. He goes to the direction of the town. Eventually, a Mountie police officer found him. The officer trots up to Stefan, who then explains, and when I say trot, they ride horses. He wasn't like trotting up there, like, you know. But he trots up to Stefan, and Stefan explains what happened to him. But you know what happened?
What?
The Mountie didn't believe a word Stefan said.
Imagine.
Also,
all you skeptics out there,
Stefan is shirtless and has burns all over him. But The Mountie refused to help him and get a doctor as well. So.
What did the Mountie know?
I don't know, though. That's Canada. And I feel like that's just not real. You know? Like, Canada's known to be nice and helpful.
You don't know that.
I do know that. All Canadians are nice.
Really?
Have
you ever seen Super Troopers?
They're nice. They're
not
funny
all
as hell.
Not all of them.
Love Super Troopers.
You remind me of Super Troopers.
You remind me of an alien.
Say it.
What?
Say what you were going
to
say.
I was trying to think of something. I didn't want to say the same thing you did. It took me a minute. Anyway. So he refused to help him get a doctor. So Stephen keeps walking and makes it back to his motel room. But when he gets back, the receptionist tells him that only doctor lives 45 miles away. He calls his wife and gets his oldest son to meet him at the bus depot. Stephen gets on the bus, burned and sick. It has to ride for 2 hours. He arrives and his son takes him to the hospital. Stephen is scared. The doctor won't believe his story, so he says he was hit by an airplane exhaust. The doctors can't tell what's wrong with him, but they put ointment on the burns and tell him to go home and rest. Stephen rests for that day. He then tells his wife and sons what happened to him. He tells them he saw a UFO and his family believes him. Also, Stephen is still vomiting and having migraines, which, by the way, is symptoms of radiation sickness, right?
Do you know how aliens organize a party?
How?
They plan it. You know
which
how aliens
is...
get off in this ship? He needed some space. You want me to send you this?
Nope.
I'm gonna.
So, he's still having migraines. He can't hold food down or anything. And yes, y'all, I looked up the symptoms of radiation sickness, and that is, I mean, those are symptoms. He is still radiating that terrible smell. And his son remembers, I got a quote from his son. I recalled seeing him in bed. He didn't look good at all. He looked pale and haggard. And then there was the smell. When I walked into the bedroom, there was a huge stink in the room, like a real horrible aroma of sulfur and burnt motor. It was all around, and it was coming out of his pores. It was bad. So, the doctor comes by, and of course he agrees. None of the symptoms make sense. They then realize he may actually have radiation poisoning, meaning the family could all be in danger. They then take Stephen to a Canadian Atomic Research Center. They take so many tests. The good news is, he's not radioactive, but the bad news is, they don't know what's wrong with him. Doctors do say, whatever it is, it looks like radiation poisoning. Stephen's blood count is also crazy. Now, normally white blood cells should be around 20 to 40% lymphocytes, but after the incident, Stefan's count was 16%, which also looks like radiation. But his tests are fine, so they just sent him home. Later on, a reporter shows up. Actually, a day after the incident. His story breaks, and soon the whole country knows. And then it breaks in other countries. People believe his stories. Others start to speak up. On May 19th, a nearby town saw the same craft moving incredibly fast through the sky. A week later, a 13-year-old girl sees similar crafts. She makes a sketch, and it looks just like what Stephen described. So at least 20 different people saw these spacecrafts. The phone at Stephen's house doesn't stop ringing, and reporters are everywhere. Friends and neighbors are interviewed about his mental health, and they ask if he drinks. Stephen's kids start to get bullied at school. Eventually, the feds start paying attention.
Roro.
Yeah. The Royal Canadian Air Force and the Mounties show up to interrogate him. One official asks Stefan if he likes to drink. Now, the bartender at the motel reported seeing Stefan the night before. Supposedly, he was downing beers. Stefan said that is absolutely not true. He didn't go near the bar. Now, this is the part that gets me. Because they're trying to prove that he didn't go there, right?
Right.
So, they start checking receipts. And it proves that he never went to the bar. But, here's the thing.
What happened?
This is 1967. Wouldn't he have paid in, like, cash? Why would they need his name? Unless he charged it to the room or something?
Possibly, yes.
So, you think that's what it was?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Because that's...
Hold on. I wanted to know that.
Are you looking it up?
Did credit cards...
Yeah, when did they get credit cards?
A thing. 1958.
1958?
The first one was issued. In 1966, they released the famous Bank America card. But they didn't become widely used until like the 60s.
So it's possible he did have a credit card.
Yeah, it's possible.
Plus, with them traveling worldwide, more than likely he did. Okay, we'll give that one to you, Stefan. by now, they have sent teams to find the landing sites.
I think checks were really big then. Remember that Leo DiCaprio movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is that movie? Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, I like that movie.
It's a good movie. So, they've sent teams to the landing, or to try to find the landing sites. They are concerned it may be an enemy spy. They aren't thinking aliens, y'all. They're thinking that it's a spy plane.
Landing strip. Texas forever.
Now, keep in mind, Canada isn't on good terms with Russia at this point in time.
I don't think any of us was.
No, that's when the Cold War was going on, so they were not. Mm-mm. Stefan wants to know what happened, too. His only hope is Barry Thompson. Now, Barry is from the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. He reaches out to Stefan immediately, and he's very sympathetic, and they become fast friends. Stefan is finally starting to get better, and he's finally eating and walking 2 weeks after the incident.
What, can we just call him Stephen?
No, it is Stefan.
Because every time you say that, I think of Vampire Diaries.
Stefan. Stefan.
Are you getting sick?
Maybe. Sick of your shit.
I'm sick of your shit. Hey, bartender.
Listen, stop. So, Barry's really sympathetic, and they become fast friends. So, Stefan is finally starting to get better.
Fast friends, or they became friends fast?
They were fast friends. They did everything fast.
They raced each other? Did they get new shoes
and ran so fast. Anyway.
I just wanted to clarify that because you said that several times. I'm like, is that like their gang name? We're the fast friends.
I just thought it sounded really smart and good. So I wrote it down in my notes. So
they became friends fairly quickly, basically.
Right? They could have been fast friends. Fast and Furious Friends. I hate those movies so much.
Really? Because they were going to sponsor us.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they was.
Fast and Furious was going to sponsor Supernatural Smut.
Yes.
I don't want them to because I hate their movies.
They will never let you see how they get to space again.
I don't want to say that ever again. Ever again. Okay.
Rest in peace, Paul Walker. Why are you laughing?
Wow.
He was a good person.
I like Paul Walker. You're so funny. I'm not laughing at Paul Walker.
I said rest in peace. You're like,
I love that one movie he's in with Jessica.
There's more than one movie with Paul Walker.
I know, but I really like that one movie.
Our son is named after a character of Paul Walker.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so They just became friends, okay? They weren't fast at all. There was nothing fast about them. Fast
friends. Like Flash's gang, the fast friends.
Well, his name is Barry, so.
I thought it was Stefan.
There's Stefan and Barry.
Fast vampires.
Vampires are fast and Barry Allen's faster. Anyway. Gross. What did you just throw? Was that a scab you threw at me?
What the hell?
What is that deodorant?
Who throws scabs at people? What the hell are you on?
Oh my God.
Who throws scabs?
I don't know. People? Are y'all still here for the rest of this story? Because I don't think he is.
I've checked out.
Oh yeah, you should. Yes, you.
What?
Yeesh. Yeesh. Yes, you have. Anyway. They tried to go back to the landing site and they couldn't find it.
Landing strip.
But he can't find his way, so they come back. Which is suspicious. A few weeks later, the Air Force takes him on a helicopter, thinking that maybe this will help. But guess what? It doesn't.
It wasn't fast enough.
It wasn't fast enough. No, he couldn't find it. Like, the aerial view did not help whatsoever. So, Stefan then meets Jerry Hart. And Jerry is an electrical engineer that has a cabin near the lake. He also knows the area better than anyone. And in late June, Stefan and Jerry try one more time. Get the page turned. Okay. They start out and they bring Geiger counters. They eventually found the spot and the Geiger counters went crazy. The area where the craft landed was radioactive. Luckily, it wasn't enough to be dangerous. In the middle of the rock where the ship landed, there's a blip on the Geiger counters. This one spot is more radioactive than any other. The trees are also burnt, and they even found Stefan's shirt. Now, I am going to stop right here because that area inside the rocks was granite, and granite has been proven to be a little bit radioactive. So, that could be one reason that the counters were going off like they were, but when they did get to that one spot, they started going crazy, and they found all that stuff. So, I'm just trying to kind of play both sides here and let y'all know everything that's going on, whether you want to believe him or not. So, the feds finally believe Stefan saw something. They take soil samples, and they'll let him know the results later. The public is dying to know what's going on, but the feds are being very secretive. On June 29th, a member of parliament asked to see the Falcon Lake incident reports. The Speaker of the House then immediately cut him off and goes on to another subject. Stefan hasn't heard anything. They tested the soil samples and confirmed the soil was radioactive, but that's all they would say. So Barry takes control. He writes an article claiming that Stefan's incident is extraterrestrial and has it published. Stefan never gave permission for this, nor did he ever make a statement claiming it was aliens. Now, y'all, Stefan died in 1999. He was 83 years old, and never once did he say it was aliens.
But it was aliens.
This made the media so much worse. He won't even answer his phone, and also on top of everything, he still has strange symptoms from the incident. 4 months after, Stefan is at work, and his body starts to swell. His arms and legs turn dark purple. His supervisor finds him and rushes him to the doctor. And the swelling is so bad, they have to cut him out of his clothes. They notice the burn marks are flared up. But then, the next day, Stefan is totally fine. During his ordeals, Stefan decides to write everything down. Actually, Barry told him to. So now he can give that to the media and they will leave him alone. Stephen calls it my encounter with a UFO. They keep a stack by the door and give them to the reporters that stop by. Barry starts to sell the story, claiming all the money would go to the family. But Barry then disappears and is never heard from again and takes the money with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess they're not fast friends anymore.
Guess not.
Okay. Barry was fast because they never saw him again. A year later, Stefan and a friend go back to the lake. One more search for answers. They see a big crack on the rock where the UFO landed. So, Stefan thinks maybe the radioactivity is coming from inside the rock. Stefan uses his tools to chip away at the crack. Several inches down, Stefan finds several shiny pieces of metal, the same color as the outside of the UFO. They're the same shape as the crack, which means the liquid from the UFO dripped down and hardened. Either way, it's not natural. And when they scanned the pieces with the Geiger counter, the needle went wild. The metal is radioactive. Stefan thinks it's proof of UFO and proof he's telling the truth. He takes a sample and sends it for testing. The lab results say
Once we get there,
it's very pure silver, coated with metals containing radioactive uranium. This silver is the only proof that anyone finds. Now, eventually the case is closed. They believe Stefan found something that burned him in the woods, but wasn't a threat to national security. The case is labeled unexplained. And for the next few years, government officials tried to see the reports, but were never allowed. In 1979, some parts were released, but the full report has never been seen. Stefan never claimed it was aliens. On August of 1968, Stefan checked himself into the Mayo Clinic. He's still continuing to have headaches and the burns are still there. He's even fainting. The doctors confirmed it wasn't radiation, but they think maybe he was burned by some kind of toxic gas. His symptoms have lasted so long because his body can't fight it off. They also do a psychological exam, and he's great, and it also proves that he is not likely the type of person to make up a story like this. Stefan died in 1999, and his story never once changed whenever he told it.
Dang.
So what do you think?
I think it's just another story. I want proof, hard evidence.
There is. There's the medal and his shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So what do you think?
I don't know.
Do you think it was aliens?
It's always aliens.
You don't think it was like a crazy secret military aircraft?
Nah. It was aliens. It was definitely aliens.
Not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens. So, okay. All right, you guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. Let us know what you think, and I will post pictures up on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast. If you have ideas, send us an email at supernaturalsmut1@gmail.com, and we will try to get to them. Y'all stay hydrated, and we will see you guys next Sunday.
Peace.
Bye.
Carmen.